series on Philippians today, at least the teaching part. We're going to be reading through the entire book next week. But follow with me this yellow banner. And that's what we're going to focus our attention on this morning. And that verse is found in Philippians chapter 3. So if you have your Bible, I invite you to open it to Philippians chapter 3. If you need a Bible, there's a stack of them over there. Go and pick one up. Or if you have your book, we handed out booklets of Philippians. It's in there too. Okay? But Philippians chapter 3. All right, Philippians chapter 3. If you're using the Bible on the table, it's found on page 832. I'm going to start reading at verse 17 through 4, verse 1. Here Paul writes to us, he says, "Join with others in following my example, brothers and sisters, and take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you. For as I have often told you before, and I'll say again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables Him to bring everything under His control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like His glorious body. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, that is how you should stand firm in the Lord, dear friends." 3 verse 20 again, "But our citizenship is in heaven," Paul says. So tell me, people of God, how many of you have ever visited or spent some time in a foreign country? Raise your hands. All right. Where have you been? South Africa, Netherlands, Italy, Ukraine, Chile. All right. Canada. All right. Yeah, see, that's what I was going to ask. How about that? For our family vacation this summer, we vacationed in Canada, and Doug anticipated my question. He's thinking, Canada? Right? Canada, a foreign country? Venezuela, Nigeria, India, Belgium, those are foreign countries. But Canada? No way. I mean, here's Ben Corson, right? He's Canadian. Canada doesn't count as a foreign country, does it? Well, let me explain a little bit further where we went in Canada. We went to the province of Quebec. How many of you have been to Quebec? Anybody? All right, what do you know about Quebec? What do you know about geography, about people, about stuff that's happening in Quebec? What's that? French. Okay, very good. Yeah? Succession. All right. They're not even fond of being in Canada, are they? Okay, anybody else? What do you know about Quebec? No, not Toronto. What's that now? It's bilingual. Yeah, if you're lucky. Okay, anybody else? What do you know about Quebec? Yeah. We did. We put a few miles on in Quebec. That's right. How many? About 200 miles did we bike? About 200, 250 or so. Even the kids. They did a great job. But yeah, the first day we biked 45 miles because it was a little further to the campground than we thought. So we just kept going, kind of like the Energizer Bunny. But luckily, 45 miles came to an end, didn't it, Megan? That's right. So yeah, who said French? Scott, you've been there. We were there. How much French does Pastor Henry know? What's that? Bonjour, that's right. Pastor Henry knows a little bit more French than he did 2 weeks ago. But still, he does not know very much, let me tell you. Wherever he went, people were speaking French, and more French. Henry John got a little frustrated about the fifth or sixth day. We're walking along, and all of a sudden he bursts out. He's like, man, everybody's speaking French. Does anybody speak English? And everybody's kind of looking at him like, what's wrong with that little eight-year-old boy? But he had had it with people speaking French. The information signs in the campground bathrooms were in French. So I'm looking at this, and it's telling me to do something, and I have no idea what it's telling me to do. I know how to use the bathroom and all that stuff, but there's, like, certain things, right? I pull up to the gas pump. We just crossed out of Ottawa, crossed the bridge there, into Quebec's, from Ottawa into the province of Quebec, go to pump gas, and I'm thinking, can I do this by memory in English? The gas pumps give me instructions in French. And then you have to insert the right credit card to make sure that it works. It took me about 10 minutes. The menus. You go out to eat. Right? The menus are in French. So either you got to figure out what it is that you're willing to take a gamble on, or you start highlighting words that you know. The plaques. We visit a lot of historical places. They've got these nice information things telling you what's there, but it's in French. And take a look at this picture. Even the Gordon Food Service truck is in French. How about that? Does that look familiar? You see any of those around? We saw that in Quebec City. Had to take a picture of that. So what did this experience have on our family? What effect did this have on Pastor Henry being immersed in Canada? Not just Canada, but Quebec, Canada, for 2 weeks. One of the main things it did was it made it very clear to us that there are different type of citizens in this world. Citizens with different customs, languages, and ways of doing things. Our time in Quebec reinforced for us what passport it was that we were carrying around in our bags on our bikes. Right? I was carrying a United States passport. And as soon as we left the city of Ottawa, we entered into a foreign environment as citizens of another land. Although we were visiting Quebec, we were not a citizen of that land. This was not our home. We were just visiting there. We were citizens of another place. Citizenship. Being vested with the rights, privileges, and duties of a citizen. In our text for today, Paul writes to us about citizenship, about being a citizen. And in his letter, Paul reminds us that citizenship does not exclusively belong to the political world. Citizenship also belongs to the spiritual world as well. In fact, in the section that we read, he highlights two different types of citizens. Just as there are different types of citizens politically, there's different types spiritually. Can you identify the two citizens that Paul highlights for us in Philippians chapter 3? And how would you describe them? What title would you give them? Look again at those verses. Two types of citizens, Paul says. Yeah, Scott. Okay. So there's citizens of earth, citizens of this world, and citizens of heaven. All right. The people of Quebec, different characteristics than the people of Grand Rapids, Michigan. Different adjectives that you would use to describe two different people. Paul does this for us in this section, but also throughout his entire book. We've been reading Philippians again and again over these past few weeks. Right? So I want us to explore words and phrases that have jumped out at us as we've made our way through this whole letter all the way around here. Right? Two different types of citizens, citizens of this world and citizens of heaven. How would you describe them? How does Paul describe them throughout his entire letter, but also in this section. Words, phrases. What's in there? What have you noticed as you've been reading these past couple weeks? What did you notice this morning in that section? What are the characteristics? What do they look like? Anybody? Okay. Our dogs. Okay. All right. Anybody else? Okay. All right. Anybody else? Okay. Okay. So they live a different way, a worthy way. Okay, citizens of heaven do. All right. Anybody else? How about in terms of their God? The citizens of heaven, who is their God? What's that now? That's the citizens of this world, right? Their God is their stomach. Yeah? The citizens of heaven? Yep. Yeah. Oh, is that what I said? Sorry? Okay. Citizens of heavenly, they eagerly await a Savior. The Lord Jesus Christ is their God. The citizens of the world, their stomach. Right? Satisfying their stomach is their God. How about in terms of destiny? How would you characterize the two? Life and death. All right? The citizens of heaven, what is their destiny? What do they have to look forward to? Eternal life. Okay? How about the citizens of this world? What does Paul say? What is their destiny? Destruction. Eternal life, destruction. Did you say there's a difference there? How about in terms of glory? Where is the glory found for the citizens of heaven? What do they glory? In whom? In what? In Jesus, right? They glory in what Jesus has done. How about the citizens of this world? Where do they look for glory? What is their glory? Their glory is in their shame. How about their minds? What they think about? What their minds are set on? What is it that consumes what they think about? The citizens of this world, what is their mind set on in verse 19? What does he say? Earthly things. All right? What are earthly things? Frank Thielman, in his commentary, he says this: earthly things are not the practical affairs of everyday life. What would those be? Bus schedules, laundry, dinner, work, right? What are we going to eat? What are we going to do? Right? Not those. But the things that characterize worldly life in opposition to God. Paul talks about these in his other letter, Colossians 3. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, greed, anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language. Their mind is set on those. How about citizens of heaven? Where is their mindset? Colossians 3, Paul says, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, he says, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. He says, set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. Citizens of this world think about different things than the citizens of heaven. How about when it comes to confidence? Citizens of heaven, what are they confident in? Salvation, eternity, right? Their confidence is in Jesus. citizens of this world, where does their confidence have to be? In themselves, right? And what they can do. Kyle talked about contentment last week. Where does contentment lie for citizens of this world? Where does contentment lie for citizens of heaven? Again and again throughout his letter, Paul talks about these differences, the different characteristics of the citizens. And then he makes this statement in verse 20. What does he say? What does he say that the church is? Where is their citizenship? What rights, duties, and privileges have they been given? Have we been given? What have we received? Paul affirms that we are citizens of heaven. For whatever reason, that jumped out at me this week as I was reflecting on that. You, he says, you are a citizen of heaven. You are a citizen of heaven, he says. You are citizens of heaven. And so are you. You, he says, are citizens of heaven. Even though we're living in this world, we are not citizens of this world. Even though we visited Quebec, we were not citizens of that place. And Paul's writing to these people in the Philippian church, in Philippi. He says, even though you are Roman citizens, Paul reminds them that they are so much more than that. Being a Roman citizen in this day was a pretty good thing. Right? You wanted to be a Roman citizen. It gave you rights. It gave you privileges. They couldn't just kill you for the sake of anything, right? You had to go to a trial. It gave you protection. It was a big deal to be a Roman citizen. But Paul says, you're more than that. Don't settle for just that. You are a citizen of heaven. These past 2 weeks, I'm in Quebec. I'm soaking all this in. I'm surrounded by people, but I'm also, in some ways, alone. Right? Because I can't talk. I try. Bonjour. Right? You can only get so far with bonjour. Bonjour. Right? When you're surrounded by people who are different than you, you begin to examine identity. Right? You begin to ask, who am I? Where do I fit? Where do I belong? What defines me? What characterizes me? And Paul says our citizenship is defined by how we answer the following questions. He says, who is our God? Who is your God this morning? What is my destiny? Where is my glory? Where do I look for glory? Where am I finding it? My mind. What is my mind set on? What is it that I think about? What is it that I long for? I had some time these past 2 weeks to reflect on these type of things. And I ask you this morning, where do you belong? What is it that defines you? Where are you a citizen? I carried this around for 2 weeks. Does this define me? In some ways it does. But only partially so. Some people say that around the world this is gold. People want one of these more than anything. Everyone wants a U.S. passport. Why? Because of the rights, and the privileges that a passport gives us. Things that many of us, we just take for granted. Why? Because we're born into it. We don't know any different. Right? What did I do to deserve this? Right? I showed up. Right? In Hammond, Indiana one day. Right? I was born. Right? I was born into the rights and privileges that this gives me. But when I go to a foreign place, right, this has limits. Ben, I bet, is carrying a different passport. I bet his doesn't look like this. I'm only assuming. And he's limited by that. What type of citizen are you? What is it that defines you this morning? Just like I did nothing to get this, what is it that I do to get that? I have to be born again. I have to receive it. How do I become a citizen of heaven? I receive the grace and the forgiveness that Jesus offers. Who are you? Who are we? How do we define ourselves? How are we defining ourselves? Paul says, define ourselves by this. We are citizens of heaven. He says, stand firm in that. Put your glory in Jesus and what He has done. Put your contentment there. Set your mind on that. Long for those things. Await, he says. Eagerly await a Savior. Would you pray with me this morning?